Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning, we have learned that some liberals choke on even a small piece of Pastor Scheidbach's mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, your beloved brain masseuse. It is time for your brain massage. Good news on the abortion front. On the issue of abortion, there is a little something the MSM, Marxist Socialist Media, a.k.a. mainstream media, conveniently and consistently avoids conveying. And it is the fact that most people object to abortion. I mean, it's something like 80% will say that they find abortion objectionable personally. However, a significant number, by the way, not a majority, but many, think it is a matter of personal choice. Now, folks, pro-choice is a ruse, a sleight-of-hand trick of the mind, a rationalization. The argument that while we personally find abortion objectionable, we must, nonetheless, defer to the right of a woman to choose for herself, well, that conveniently refocuses the debate on a woman's rights rather than on the question of the sanctity of life, or, may I say, on the right of the baby to live. In other words, no one in their right mind would argue that a woman has a right to choose whether or not her newborn baby should live or die. Of course not, right? Well, now, this is something you need to listen to, because as a matter of fact, there are a growing number of people out there who think that under certain circumstances, a doctor or a mother ought to go ahead and kill the baby even after the baby has been born. For example, President-elect Obama has voted against the Born Alive Protection Act. And yet he stands pretty much alone on that. Most human beings in America still have enough conscience left, enough respect for the basic right of the life of a baby, a birth baby, to feel even intuitively that, well, this is over the top here. You see, it is interesting to note that when the baby is actually born, then all of a sudden, even emotionally based individuals find their attention dragged away from focus on the right of the mother to choose to the right of the baby to live. However, we should take courage in this. Pro-choice ideology is straining to hold on to the public conscience. It is losing its grip. It has held on by confusing the issue of whether or not the baby in the womb is an actual human being. Of course, the only legitimate scientific answer to that question is that human life begins at conception. Did you know that there is not one single scientist that I know about anyway, never heard of one, who has ever attempted to argue that the conceived baby in the womb is part of the mother's body? It is genetically unique. It is a separate human being from the moment of conception. However, scientific jargon has been used by pro-abortionists to create the illusion that science regards the baby in the womb as something other than a human being. Now, folks, they do this by using the scientific jargon describing the different stages of human development in the womb. You know, words like embryo or fetus. What the pro-abortion liars do is create the illusion that the baby in the womb is not human by consistently referring to it with one of the developmental terms. Developmental terms of human development, you know, like infant or toddler or crumb cruncher, preschooler, kindergartner, teenager, senior. All of these are terms we use to identify stages in human development. And the word zygote, embryo, fetus, these are words that identify a stage in human development. All of them identify a human being. So you see, the pro-choice ideology is premised on a philosophical point of view, not a scientific one. But that philosophical point of view is premised upon lies, distortions, and obfuscation. The argument that it is not viable until it can survive outside the womb is another argument that is bogus. First of all, the pro-abortionist wants the right to kill these babies right up to the time of birth. That's the truth of it. When they bring this other business up, it's only a red herring to redirect your thinking so that you are compromised in your argument or in the point you're trying to make. The fact is, they want the woman to have the right to choose all the way up to the moment before that baby escapes the womb and starts breathing air. And you need to know that there are some who are arguing very quietly now behind closed doors that the doctor ought to be able legally to kill the baby immediately upon birth before that baby takes its first breath. They are already trying to draw the line outside the womb, my friends. Now, of course, it would be difficult to get those emotionally based liberals to accept this sort of an idea. So they avoid expressing this point of view too loudly in public. It's pretty hush-hush. Anyway, the fact is, infants cannot survive outside the womb without care. The infant cannot feed itself. It continues to be 100% dependent upon a mother for care or it will die. So, you know, that criteria simply does not stand. Because there are many stages and there are circumstances in which a human might find itself where they become totally dependent upon others to sustain their life. And that does not mean they're not human. Remember Terry Schiavo? Another lie is that the baby is part of the woman's body. Scientifically, as we have pointed out, the baby is an entirely new and separate human being. The fact that it is attached to the mother and entirely dependent upon the mother does not make it part of the mother's body. I mean, it's not an organ of her body like the liver or a kidney. It is a separate human being. Another lie is the notion that the life and well-being of women are protected by legalized abortion. Well, the fact is, in gross numbers, fewer women have died from botched abortions back when it was illegal than who die now. It might be arguable that because more than 1 million are performed every year now, as opposed to then when it was very rare, in terms of the percentage of women dying from botched abortions when they were illegal, you might say it's arguably higher, but that can't be proved because they won't let us do these studies. It's interesting how they block any kind of real statistical studies of what goes on with aborted women. Anyway, more women have been ruined by abortion since they've been legalized in gross numbers. More young ladies have lost their ability to bear a child. Many, many women who get an abortion have compromised their capacity to carry a baby to term. But my friends, you are purposely kept from knowing the truth about abortion because the truth would so horrify you that the pro-choice ruse would lose its ability to keep you duped. So you see what I mean? Most people object to abortion, but they are confused into thinking that even though they intuitively and morally feel the act is not acceptable for them, they do not believe they should impose their morality on others. It's like, you know, the jury deliberating a case and not given all the facts, but allowed to entertain as facts lies that confuse the issue and leave them stuck with a reasonable doubt in the matter. But the facts about abortion, if they ever get out, the public will begin to see that this is not an issue of a woman's right to choose. It is an issue of a baby's right to live. The truth about abortion would explode the pro-choice mythology, and pro-abortionists know it. You see, folks, pro-abortionists are very rare, relatively speaking. Most pro-choice people are against abortion, you know. You've got three categories. You're pro-abortion people who actually believe abortion is a good thing. We ought to encourage as many as we can. You know, for population control, especially among the poor and deprived. Yeah, that's right. And then there are those who consider themselves pro-choice. They personally oppose abortion, but they think that a woman ought to have a right to choose. But decent people would never elevate a woman's right to choose above a baby's right to live if they knew the facts. A woman's personal rights cannot be elevated above the right to life. A decent human being would not accept the idea that the convenience of one human being trumps the right of another human being to live. I mean, just because somebody is an inconvenience to you does not mean you have the right to kill them, right? Well, that's murder. Okay, so you see how it works. You have before you an act that, by the vast majority of Americans, is considered to be morally reprehensible. However, because it is cast in the context of a debate about personal rights, many Americans are reluctant to side with the baby. That is, until they can see the baby. Then things begin to change remarkably. The number of women who decide against abortion after seeing a sonogram is so disturbing to pro-abortionists that they go into apoplexy when anyone starts talking about a woman's right to make an informed decision, including seeing a sonogram of the baby before they abort. You see, these people want to kill babies, there's the bottom line, especially black or poor ones. That's right. That's just the fact of it. Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, was a racist, and she made no pretense about her objective in promoting controlled pregnancy or population control through abortion. She wanted to get involved in the evolutionary process and control the breeding of undesirable segments of the population to breed out the weak and create a super race. She's a stinking Hitler in a dress. Oh, God, if only you knew the truth about this abortion business. How horrible, how wicked, how evil it truly is. But, my friends, there is good news. People are beginning to wake up on this issue. Now, here's an article you will not find in the MSM, Marxist Socialist Media, a.k.a. mainstream media, quote, fewer Americans support abortion, end quote. Why do the general news media refuse to give this any real time in their outlets? Is it because the data supporting this header is unreliable? Well, it comes from the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press, which conducts research that has been cited by the Associated Press, Times, New York Times, and the rest of them. But you see, when the Pew polls recently showed that there has been a dramatic shift away from support for legalized abortion, well, that survey is ignored. But that's the facts, ma'am. Quote, according to a survey by the Pew Research Center, 46% of Americans say abortion should be legal in most or all cases, a drop from 54% in August. Among 18 to 29-year-olds, there was a 5-point drop in support for abortion, end quote. And I found this particularly interesting, quote, abortion support among moderate and liberal Republicans fell from 67% in August to 43% in the newest survey, end quote. Now, that's huge, folks. So, a week or so ago on Mother's Day, what does the Santa Maria Times do but print a huge splash article titled, quote, Mother's Day tinged with sadness for birth moms, end quote. Really? You know, those birth moms who decided that rather than to kill the baby, they would instead give the baby to a couple of loving adoptive parents. And Times thinks that Mother's Day would be a good day to talk about the pain birth moms feel for deciding that instead of killing the baby and having its remains tossed into a trash can or sent to some lab to be harvested for parts by one of Obama's stem cell researchers, yeah, they are his now. He's funding them, and he signed the executive order reversing the ban on embryonic stem cell research. So, yeah, it is appropriate to refer to them as his research doctors. The buck and the blood stops on his desk. His hands are covered in it. Anyway, so it's Mother's Day, and the Santa Maria Times decides, oh, here's a good story. Let's talk about how Mother's Day is tinged with sadness for birth moms. What morons. Now, here are the facts. Far more birth moms who opt for adoption instead of abortion are happy about their decision than not. Some, a relative few in number, do experience remorse, and some experience sadness. I mean, after all, the circumstances that create a situation where adoption becomes the better option are generally less than ideal. Hello. However, you want to know what the Santa Maria Times will never do? They're never going to do a huge article on Mother's Day about the number of abortion moms who live with guilt and remorse and even anguish over their decision to abort their child. I've seen this firsthand, my friends. A dear lady whose name is not necessary to mention here came to me after years of torment in her soul over an abortion she had when a young girl. It just finally had become so much for her. It was overwhelming. She told me the most atrocious story you can imagine. She was a teenager and pregnant out of wedlock. She felt she had, quote, no choice, end quote, something we hear a lot, but to get an abortion. She wasn't given the adoption option. She described being on the table with a nurse attending her, waiting for the doctor to come in to perform the abortion. She does not remember much until she awoke and saw the nurse nervously looking at her and then the door and muttering something about the doctor needing to hurry and return. When she began to rise up, the nurse panicked and ran from the room, apparently to get the doctor. Well, this lady looked at the table and saw some of the bloody pieces of the baby on the table, and then she went into a state of shock. She remembers the nurse taking her by the arm and leading her back to the, whatever it's called, where she was lying down and having the abortion performed. She had been standing by that metal table holding one of the parts of her baby in her hand. I can't go into that. I'm not going to go any further. It gets worse than this. The bottom line is that this woman suffered horrible nightmares and was very deeply emotionally scarred by this. How about that one, Santa Maria Times? How about you do a story on how Mother's Day is tinged with sadness for women like this? You cowards, You would do a story in which you suggest negatively against adoption, which is a far better option than abortion. At least those kids are alive. And usually, almost always, very much loved and cared for. You name the time you met an adopted child that was not well-adjusted and just way, way loved and cherished. You idiots, you won't do it because you're cowards. You won't do a story on the facts about abortion. The fact that about half of the women who get an abortion complain of some complications. 40% of these said the complication was relatively minor. 26% it was moderately severe, but 35% said it was very severe. And one of the most distressing and recurring complaints was infertility. A loss of fertility is not unusual among aborted women. By the way, it's interesting that these women considered post-abortion hemorrhaging as among the least severe of their complaints, which occurs in about 15% of all abortions, by the way, and infections, considered by them the second most common complication, happens in about 9% of cases. Other problems include irregular periods, chronic bleeding, cramps, chronic infections, exhaustion, pelvic inflammatory disease. The long-term complications included the 6% who must have a forced hysterectomy to remove a uterus that had been damaged or infected by an abortion procedure, another 8% suffering a post-abortion infection that left them sterile. It also causes an increased risk of cervical cancer. About 4% got cervical cancer. Almost 20% of aborted women suffer from a miscarriage of a wanted child afterwards. Almost 8% suffer from cervical incompetence after the abortion. Now, you want some Mother's Day bummers? And you want to understand why I did not address this on Mother's Day? You know, Santa Maria Times is so sensitive. Although, you know, they would do a huge article. What a bummer it is to be a birth mom on Mom's Day, huh? When those kids are probably 100 times better off in their adoptive homes than they would have been in their original home. But being so sensitive, they would never bring up the fact that thousands of aborted moms suffer a great deal more remorse on Mother's Day when they think about the baby they aborted. Now, here's a little something for the record. While only about 50% of aborted women suffer some physical complication, almost every aborted mother complains of some level of psychological trauma in the aftermath of abortion. Now, there are many in denial, and I've run into this many times. As a pastor, I counsel people a lot, and I see a lot of this. Women who aborted, who pretend it was no big deal, but who show many symptoms of being compulsive in different ways, one of them in trying to get others to abort. Isn't that something? One lady finally admitted that her compulsion to talk others into aborting was because it, in her view, reaffirmed her own decision to abort. Think about this. You see, when she could talk someone else into aborting, it reaffirmed her decision to abort. She would find herself getting angry, even at friends, if they had an inconvenient pregnancy and struggled with the decision to abort. It would make her angry because it called into question her own decision, which finally she admitted that she did regret sometimes. Estimates are as high as 94%, my friend. Many women who suffer chronic depression are victims of this post-abortion stress syndrome. Many are suicidal. About 20% of these actually make an attempt to commit suicide. I mean, this goes on and on. A good book to get, by the way, for more information on this is Aborted Women, Silent No More by David C. Reardon, published by Crossway Books, well-documented. My copy was printed in 1987, and I don't know if there's an updated version of the book available, but you ought to get it if you can. Well, anyway, in Tennessee, a pastor has organized a yearly event in which pro-lifers assembled together in a funeral procession through his town, hundreds of cars, lights on, in procession, mourning the death of aborted babies in his town. He calls it a procession of healing. The idea is that this offers a sense of closure to those women who suffer trauma because of their abortions. And it offers him an opportunity to give a message to these women of healing and forgiveness. I thought that was particularly interesting in contrast to the Santa Maria Times article, because when I was working with a lady that I mentioned earlier, it occurred to me that what she needed was some way to get closure on this. So I suggested that I would perform a funeral for her child. This did appeal to her, so we did it. She continued to grieve for her child, but the memory of that horrible event faded remarkably. Not all at once, but over about a year, it almost entirely faded away, and she was a happy lady again. She stopped having those nightmares almost immediately. But you see, the pro-choice ideology rests upon one lie after another. No one with any moral sense would support the legalization of the murder of a baby on the argument that a mother has a right to choose. So, the pro-choice position is invented and set upon a network of lies. A lie about the nature of the baby in the womb, a lie about being in the best interest of the mother, lies about the health of aborted women. It goes on and on. And it's got to stop. We cannot continue murdering these babies in the wombs of their mothers. And the idea that if we make the vile practice illegal, women will go back to illegal abortions? Don't let that kind of thing dupe you. Laws against murder have not eliminated homicide. And only a fool would argue, only a total fool would argue, that because if you make homicide illegal, people will do it anyway, that therefore that's a reason to legalize murder? I mean, it's just absurd. Some things, folks, are just wrong, that's all. And so there is another lie at the root of all this, the lie that, well, you can't judge. Believe me, that's what paralyzes most Christians in this debate. But I've got to take a break right now, so we'll come back to this question in the next segment. The idea, you know, that you can't judge. And who are you to judge? That's one of my favorites. And how that stupid notion has opened the door to this whole business of casting a moral issue in terms of personal rights so that no one has the right to judge another for their personal morality. I mean, it's just like the homosexual agenda. They have taken a moral issue and turned it into a debate about rights. So no one is looking at the facts about homosexuality or the movement. They are stuck on this discussion of personal rights. What a trick. You know, well, it's not for me, but I don't have a right to judge. And then there are all the lies used to support that nonsense. Once again, using science deceitfully to create enough confusion so the jury, who is the public in this case, cannot rule on the matter because they've created an environment of reasonable doubt when it's all based on lies. The fact is, folks, Jesus did not teach that we cannot judge. They take that statement out of context. You know, it's just like a devil to do that. When Jesus was being tempted, Satan repeatedly lifted statements in the Bible out of their context and attempted to use them to get Jesus to sin. Well, it didn't work for him. Don't let it work for you. And that's what they're doing here. They take a Bible verse where Jesus says, "Judge not lest ye be judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall also be judged." They don't even quote it all. They just take the first part, "Judge not." And they isolate that from other statements that Jesus made on the same subject, and they attempt to use it to create a muzzle to close the mouths of Christians about moral issues. But they certainly do not apply it to themselves now, do they? Oh, no. They are only too ready to judge Judge Bush as a liar because he believed intelligence regarding Hussein's WMD. And they judge him a liar and a deceiver and on those hypocrites go. This is their judgment. This is their fairness. This is their sense of justice. It's as if it serves our political agenda, well, then it's fair, just, and true. But if it's opposed to our agenda, well, it's lies, deceit, and injustice. You know, they judge Miss California because she's opposed to gay marriage. You want to take away her crown. But you can't judge gay marriage. Who are you to judge, they say. Well, you know, as a matter of fact, Jesus did not teach that we are not to judge. He warned us against unjust judgment. And he set in place a check against a rush to judgment, reminding us that whatever judgment we use will be used against us. He said, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." I mean, that's a long way from "thou shalt not judge," isn't it? And this, "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world?" Whoa. At present, we declare the judgments of God upon this old world for its sins. But one day, the gavel will fall, and we will declare the divine sentence that God has declared against this world and its sins. You know, when God delivers up the kingdoms of the world to the saints of the Most High God. Ho-ho! A little too preachy for you? Well, hang on, it gets better. You know, these characters are all the time saying, "Who are you to judge?" Well, I'm going to give you an answer. By the way, why don't we ask them, "Well, who are you to judge?" Look, the dirty little secret that explains why those of this old world hate Christians so badly, well, it is because the spirit that operates in them rages against the notion that Christ Jesus is Lord. No, siree. That one really gets them, huh? Watch. Do you have a God-hating liberal nearby? I don't care if it's Republican, Democrat, Independent, or whatever. Political affiliation is no factor here. Do you have one of those God-hating types nearby? Watch them. Go ahead, watch them while I say, if they're listening, and watch how they react to this. Ready? Jesus is Lord. Did you see it? Did you see them get all agitated, angered? Some of them are probably foaming at the mouth right now. And they're saying things that are so contrary to freedom of speech, religious liberty, you know, the ground of American freedom. And it's surprising you. You can hardly believe your ears. Others are just sitting there seething. You see, the fact is, the spirit in them knows that one day we Christians are going to judge them. That's right. We will even judge angels. It says, know ye not that we shall judge angels? Now listen to this. How much more the things that pertain to this life, end quote. So we, quote, judge things that pertain to this life, end quote. Isn't that interesting? Did you know that the God of heaven has given to his Son, Jesus Christ, all power in heaven and in earth? That he has that power right now? That in fact, Jesus is Lord over America. He is Lord over Europe. He is Lord over Russia. He is Lord over the entire Middle East. Not Allah, not Buddha, not the Communist Party in China. Jesus is Lord. Are you enjoying this little experiment? Do you see the Antichrist spirit raging in the children of disobedience around you or in your own heart? Are you getting red-faced, heart palpitating, getting angry, and you don't know why? Think about it. You see, the fact is, Christians have been made kings and priests to God by Jesus Christ. Oh, mercy. I'm really wearing some of you out. So the next time someone says, quote, who are you to judge? Well, you just say, well, as a matter of fact, we represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I'm here as his ambassador to teach all nations everything he commanded us. So you see, we are indeed qualified to judge because we declare the judgment of God over these matters. Now, I did not say we have the power to execute the judgment. That is given to governments at present. But we certainly do have both the prerogative and the authority and responsibility to declare the judgments of God upon all sinners. And so I declare to you right now, hey, America, you better quit killing these babies in the womb. You're making the Lord Jesus angry at you, and he is preparing wrath against you for your sin, even now. Wow. Well, I just thought you'd like to know my answer to that asinine question, who are you to judge? Well, I've just told you. Now, I'd like for you God-hating liberals of any political stripe, I don't care which it is, I'd like for you media types to answer that question, just exactly who are you to judge? Don't ask me that question ever again until you answer it yourself. Now, I've given you my answer. What's yours? Don't you just love it, folks? 9 times out of 10, if you simply turn their silly arguments around and aim them right back at them, you'll flummox them. But beware, and take it from an expert flummoxer. When you baffle them or befuddle them, they will resort to assaulting you, either verbally or even physically. And in the end, the only answer the world has to the power of truth is to oppress it. No worries, though, my friends. Stand strong and tall. Don't give them a single inch. Okay, I've got to wrap it up. I guess I sort of got on a roll there. I'm interested in hearing from you. Don't leave me hanging here. You'd sound off, folks. I know that I make some of you angry sometimes. I don't really mean to do that, but I want you to think about something. Why do you get angry at me for asserting my prerogative to judge homosexuality and abortion when these God-hating liberals all the time assert their right to judge me for what I believe? I just want you to remember one simple thing. I never said you have no right to judge, but what I do say is what the Lord says. Judge righteous judgment. And remember, with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. Call 1-888-770-8000. That number again is 1-888-770-8000. And leave your message for me. Give me a lights on if you agree and lights off if you disagree. I appreciate all the calls I receive, whether for me or against me. Love me or hate me, give me a call. It is important for me to hear your point of view. I like to say I've given you a piece of my mind to chew on. Now, let me chew on a piece of yours. Call 1-888-770-8000. That number again is 1-888-770-8000. Lights on or lights off. God bless you. God save America. See you in church.